It's Tuned to Yesterday, delivering shows from the golden age of radio. Welcome, I'm your host Mark Levonier. In this hour, classic sitcoms. Later on, we hear actors Jessica Tandy and Hume Cronin in The Marriage. Right now, it's George Burns and Gracie Allen on Maxwell House Coffee Time. From December 4th, 1947, on NBC, special guest Bing Crosby in an episode dealing with retirement.
Another cup of Maxwell House coffee, George?
Sure. Pour me a cup, Gracie.
You know, Maxwell House is always good to the last drop.
And that drop's good, too.
Yes, it's Maxwell House Coffee Time, starring George Burns and Gracie Allen. Our special guest tonight, Bing Crosby, yours truly, Toby Reed, Gail Gordon, Hans Conried, Henry Blair, Meredith Wilson, and the Maxwell House Orchestra, and Bill Goodwin.
For America's Thursday night comedy enjoyment, it's George and Gracie. And for America's everyday coffee drinking enjoyment, it's Maxwell House. Always good to the last drop.
We look in at the Burns home today. We find Gracie in urgent consultation with her next-door neighbor, Dr. Miller, the psychiatrist.
You know, it's George I'm worried about, Dr. Miller. He's in the other room right now, so we can talk about him.
Well, what seems to be the trouble with George?
Well,
and if I call you, Buttercup, the dandelions would eat you up. Or if I ring and change your name to mine.
Was that George?
Yes.
Mrs. Burns, I'm only a psychiatrist. That man needs a physician. He's suffering.
Oh, no. He was sane. And that's what I'm worried about.
And with very good reason.
You see, George has a complex about Bing Crosby. He broods because Bing got all the singing jobs he should have had.
I see. He feels that Crosby has usurped his rightful glory.
And it's true. Who's the most popular man in show business today? Bing Crosby. And how did he get there? Over my husband's dead tonsils.
What do you mean, Gracie?
Bing Crosby has kept George from singing.
Small wonder he's very popular in show business. How did Bing accomplish this endearing feat?
Oh, well, it all started back in 1932 when George and I worked in a picture with Bing, The Big Broadcast. Now, George was supposed to sing, but someone opened the windows in his dressing room and he caught cold. So, Bing got the song.
I see.
Now, mind you, I don't say it was Bing who opened those windows, but draw your own conclusions.
Well, Mrs. Burns, Bing Crosby is a very fine and a very intelligent man. Therefore, I think it's safe to assume he did open the window.
I knew it. That's how he kept George's voice out of pictures. Then came radio. In 1935, the Kraft program went on the air. They wanted a voice that would sell cheese, so George auditioned.
What happened?
Well, Mr. Kraft himself said that George Burns has the cheesiest voice in America. What? Did he get the program? No. Crosby got it. Politics.
You really believe your husband is good, huh?
Oh, to my mind, George Burns is the greatest singer of all time. Oh, Dr. Miller, I wish you could fix everyone's mind so they think like me.
Unfortunately, by my oath as a psychiatrist, I have sworn to do just the opposite. However, your husband's complex is a very real condition, and we must help him.
Well, how can we do that?
By building up his ego. We must flatter him until his faith in himself is restored and he once more sings every day at his fullest power. Then he'll be happy, you'll be happy, and I'll keep my windows closed.
I hear him stirring around, so we'll try it on him now.
Well, Gracie, Dr. Miller?
Hello, George. Gracie and I were just saying what a beautiful singing voice you have.
Really? Well, sit down, Doc. I'll sing you 14 or 15 numbers. From time to time...
Well, George,
and every
I just
time...
remember I have a patient waiting for
but,
me.
But, Doctor...
Some other time, George.
From
on.
Time to time... Nobody ever listens to me. Crosby is the one they want to hear.
Oh, poo to Crosby. You're twice the singer he is.
I know, but he's the one they want to hear.
Well, I can't understand why. All he ever sings is White Christmas. They ever changed the color of Christmas he threw.
Get over the way he cut me out of the picture in the big broadcast of 1932.
And the same thing happened in 1933 when we made college humor with him. He sang the hit song, Learn to Croon.
Learn to croon, if you want to win my heart's desire.
Now, they shouldn't have let Crosby mess that song up. They should have let you do it.
You're right.
And then Down the Old Ox Road was in the same picture, and Bing grabbed that one, too.
Down the Old Ox Road. Oh, you'll never find out where it is by looking in my eyes.
That was meant for you. Nobody should go down the Old Ox Road but the Old Ox himself.
Yeah, I guess I was robbed.
And it kept up. In 1934, we made We're Not Dressing. And one of the hit tunes was Love Thy Neighbor. Again, they let Crosby mangle it instead of you.
Love Thy Neighbor.
Oh, what a voice. You know, I've got an idea.
Step up and say how do you.
Oh, that's beautiful, dear. Say, now, my idea...
Gee, but it's good to see you, pal.
Oh, lovely. My idea...
How's tricks?
My idea...
What's new?
Oh, step back and let me through. You'll never get the recognition you deserve as long as Bing is around. My idea is to get him to retire.
Well, how could you get Bing to retire?
Well, I'll make him think he's getting too old to work. And then you can take over.
But, Gracie, if I take over Crosby's work, what'll happen to the work I do now?
What work do you do now?
Well, I take care of... I do all the... I'm the one who... Go see Crosby.
Walt? Oh, hello, Sonny. Is your father Bing Crosby at home?
Sure, come on in.
Thank you.
Pop's just getting cleaned up. He's been playing football with us kids. He was Notre Dame and we were Southern California.
Oh, who won?
Well, let's put it this way. It was a terrible upset.
Oh, I see.
What are you going to talk to Pop about?
Well, I'm going to see if I can get him to retire.
What's that?
Oh, well, when a man retires, he just plays golf and goes fishing and hunting and doesn't worry about work.
Gee, Pop's been retired for years.
Well, I want him to retire even more. I want him to stop singing so that my husband can become the country's favorite singer.
Oh, well, I'll go get him. You wait right here, Mrs. Sinatra.
Well, if Bing plays football with his sons, he must be in pretty good condition. I really have to lay it on thick to talk him into retiring.
Ladies, see me, and I'll hope... Why, Gracie, how are you?
I'm afraid a little boy made a mistake. I wanted to see his father, not his grandfather.
Grandfather?
Yes. Haven't you got a son named Bing?
No, we got him by just about any other name, though.
Well, hobble back to your rocking chair, old-timer. I want to talk to Bing Crosby, the singer.
Gracie, don't you recognize me? Where the blue of the night meets the gold of the day.
Bing! Why, it's you!
Yes.
Poor man, he'll lean on my shoulder.
Yeah, now, what is this old age routine? You wouldn't be giving me the needle, would you?
Well, gladly. Where's the adrenaline?
Do I really look that bad?
Well, Bing, I don't know now. I don't want to worry you, but you know that last hit you made with Barry Fitzgerald?
Yes?
Well, it wasn't until you sang that I knew which one was you.
Gracie, surely you're jesting.
No, Bing. You're driving yourself too hard. Besides movies, you're a radio actor, and that must tire you out.
Well, the radio program doesn't tire me so much, but I do get a bit bushed delivering those large silkos, the big sets. The television they have.
Yeah.
The We've got the 1201.
I know it.
The portable item, but the big set.
Yes. Well, Bing, there's only one thing for you to do.
Yeah?
You've got to retire before it's too late.
Oh, that word, retire. There's a lovely ring to it. Wouldn't it be wonderful if I could? Then I wouldn't have to care how I dress.
You mean you do now?
Please. These little ensembles were chosen by my tailor, a man with impeccable taste, but deaf.
Uh-huh. He can't see too well either.
Ah, but there's no use dreaming, Gracie. How can I retire? I have contracts, commitments.
Well, that's where I can help you, Bing. Now, look, I have a singer who could step right into your shoes. He sounds enough like you to be your brother.
Really?
Yes. He'll take over your jobs and your money.
That is my brother.
Now, Bing, this is someone else, a beautiful singer.
Harry Como.
No.
Dick Haynes.
No.
Don't tell me it's F-R-A-N-K.
Oh, no, no, no.
Forgive me for spelling, but I don't want the children to learn that word. Why give up, Gracie? Who is this singer you've groomed to take my place?
My husband, the Beverly Hills Nightingale, Sugar Throat Burns.
I didn't know he could sing.
Oh, yes. That,
really?
That big, handsome brute is 110 pounds of solid talent.
Well, this I must see and hear.
Well, get your hat and we'll go see him right now.
Good. Oh, Dennis.
Yes, boss?
Run and fetch my red suede bowler with the green feather, will you? Tell your mother I'll be gone for an hour or so.
Oh, gee, Pop. We wanted you to play cowboys and Indians with us.
Sorry, laddie boy. This time you'll have to scalp your mother. Come along,
Gracie. Oh, yes, Sonny. It's too late to scalp your father.
You need more than smooth rhythm to make a really beautiful tango.
Well, now, if that means you're going to arrange one for us, Meredith, I know we'd all like to sit back and listen.
Okay, Tobe, see if you can guess what tango this is. First, just the harmony. Now we'll add a counter melody for richness.
Well, that's mighty luscious, Meredith, but what's the number?
Patience, my boy, patience, while we add that vigorous tango rhythm. And now we'll combine the melodies to complete this blend of tango music at its very best.
Ah, yes, the beautiful Romberg tango from New Moon. And friends, just as our favorite tangos are created by expertly blending many orchestral parts, so too with the creation of America's favorite coffee, Maxwell House. The superb quality, the famous good-to-the-last-drop flavor of Maxwell House demands that not just one, but many choice Latin American coffees be included in the final superb Maxwell House blend. Ask for Maxwell House. Always good to the last drop.
Bing has agreed to retire and let you take over his career.
Really, Bing? Well, I have the matter under consideration. Gracie tells me that you bleat a beautiful batch of baritone.
Well, I do have the type voice that makes women swoon.
Oh, don't be so modest. When you sing, even men faint. Now, I'll leave you two alone to talk business, huh? Excuse me.
Certainly, Gracie. George, now, if you take over my chores, just what percentage of my weekly stipend would you figure to latch on to?
Well, roughly 95%.
Smooth that out a little.
Well, we'll see. How do you get paid, Bing?
Well, my weekly check is sent to my brother Everett, who deducts 10% as agent's fee. He then passes it to brother Larry, who deducts another 10%.
What for?
Well, he's my brother Everett's agent.
See.
Now, Larry, he now laterals the check to my brother Barney, who deducts 15%.
What's he?
He's Larry's business manager. And Barney then kicks the tattered remnants of the check to the home team, where Dixie makes the nice running over-the-shoulder catch, removes the fast 40%, and cuts up the rest with the four boys.
Well, Bing, how do you get your hands on any money?
Well, fortunately, my youngest boy isn't too hip on the fight racket. I managed to clip him for an occasional buck by getting him to place a small wager against Joe Lewis.
What a system.
If Joe ever has a bad night, there goes my mad money.
Well, money isn't important to me, Bing. I'll take over your program for free.
There's one thing that worries me, George. Now, suppose I decided to come out of retirement someday. If you're as good as Gracie says, I'll never get my program back.
Yeah, you're right. Tell you what, Bing. I won't sing my best. I'll hold back.
Hold back, huh? Well, that's mighty decent of you, hold back. By the way, I'm anxious to hear you croon. You going to give me a short touch of some of your mellow stuff?
Okay, Bing.
The birds are sweetly singing and perfume flowers are bringing in the winter's one as it's passing by. Well, Bing?
Don't hold back quite so much.
Did you get all the details settled?
Gracie, I'm not so sure I should retire.
What?
Well, I just put the Erie on Sugar Throat here. Boy's a little granulated.
Jim, how can you say that? But George was a sensation even back in vaudeville.
This boy wowed them in the old two-a-day?
Oh, the audiences loved him. Well, they used to bring their lunches and share them with George.
Really?
But when he started to sing, they'd throw the food on the stage.
That's right, Bing.
You see, Bing, ordinary singers like you can handle notes like A and E and G, but George sings notes that aren't even in the scale.
Makes them up himself, huh?
Oh, great.
Well,
God,
it's
not
true, George. According to Paul Whiteman, you once hit an L.
An L?
Yes. You hit a high note, and Whiteman said, that note sounds...
I remember.
It may surprise you a little, Gracie, but I hit the same note myself. Very note.
Ah, you're bragging.
You don't think I can,
Al?
Well, you just get George to grab a fistful of the white keys over there in that piano, and I'll prove a point to you. How soon will I be seeing you? How soon I wish I really knew? And when will I be saying words you want to hear?
Better than Bing.
You're not?
Now, He's just as good as I am. Come in. Hi, Burns.
Hello,
hello,
Bill.
Well, Big.
Oh, hi, Bill Boy.
What's his day?
You two seem to know one another.
Why, everyone knows this ladies' man. Metro may have its Leo the Lion, but Paramount, we have Willie the Wolf.
You know, Bing and I used to live next door to one another.
That's right, but Bill moved away. When we had four boys, he saw there was no future in it. Now, Bill, listen, you're an old trusted friend of mine. I should certainly treasure your advice.
Yeah?
Would you tell me, really tell me the truth, now, do you think I should retire?
Oh, no, Bing, you can't retire. You and I are the number one and number two attractions at Paramount. If you retire, who'll fill the number two spot?
Honestly, thy name is a good one.
Reminds me, Bing, if you retire, George will not only replace you on the radio, but in pictures.
What? You want George to replace Bing in pictures?
Well, why not? He'll look pretty good in there beside Bob Hope.
Beside Hope, anybody looks good.
And George is a wonderful actor, too. You wait right here and I'll go get his press clippings.
You may go now.
Pete broadcast, you can straighten these things out. In the morning and do it again.
Yes. Hope she brings back the right clipping. Well, I haven't counted on taking over your picture work, Bing, but I guess I can handle it. What picture are you shooting right now?
Connecticut Yankee in King Arthur's Court.
Oh, Bing.
Yeah?
If anybody replaces you in that picture, it should be me.
You feel it?
Yes, I'm a natural for that chivalry stuff. You know, women think of me as a knight.
They do?
Oh, sure. Every time I take a girl home from a date, she says, what a knight.
Oh. Now, look.
Believe me, Bing. I would be sensational in that King Arthur picture. Now, get this scene, boy. Mm-hmm. Hey, Dale. The knights are all sitting at the round table, you see,
yes,
polishing their armor and sipping their Maxwell House coffee. Rich, delicious, mellow Maxwell House, so wonderfully satisfying, good to the last drop.
The knights are sluicing up the Maxwell House.
Or
giving it the saucer treatment.
Truth, yes. King Arthur says, gadzooks, Guinevere, with more than ye thousand brands to choose from, more people buy and enjoy ye Maxwell House than any other brand of coffee in ye world.
Bill, I hate to break ye heart. There was no Maxwell House coffee in King Arthur's time.
Really, George? What did you fellas drink back in those days?
Delta.
Well, you missed a great bet. Maxwell House is the very best in coffee drinking pleasure. Yet it costs but a fraction of a penny more per cup than the cheapest coffee you can buy.
Hey, look, Bill, if anybody replaces Bing in the Connecticut Yankee, it'll be me.
Well, okay, George, but that'll be the first time a Connecticut Yank was ever played by a California jerk. So long, Bing.
So
get
long,
your press
so
clippings.
Oh, you know, George, my vision of retirement grows dimmer by the moment.
But, Bing, you... Oh, here comes Gracie. Well, Gracie... What about my press clippings?
Oh, I found them.
Well?
I read them.
Well?
I burned them.
Well, good.
But they weren't fair to him, Bing. He's really a fine actor. He can express tender love in a way that melts the heart. He can express sheer horror in a way that chills the blood. Show him, George.
Come closer to me. Closer.
Oh, how horrible. Oh, I can't stand it.
That was tender love.
Oh.
A surprise, yes.
You know, Luella might differ with me, but I don't think this kid is quite ready for pictures.
Oh, look. Here comes our friend, Mr. Judson. We'll ask his opinion about you retiring.
Who's Judson?
Oh, a big oil millionaire from Texas. Mm. Come in.
Howdy, little lady. Howdy, Burns.
Hello, Mr.
Hello,
Judson.
Hello, Mr. Judson.
Oh, I'd like you to meet our friend, Bing Crosby.
Bing Crosby? Say, I'm proud to shake your hand. I admire your singing. I admire your acting. You're a mighty celebrated man.
Thank you, sir.
And what part of Texas are you from?
I'm not a Texan.
Oh, now you must be kidding. A famous man like you just can't be a foreigner.
However, I hail from the happy little hamlet of Spokane, Washington.
Now, where at is that?
That's about 1,000 miles due north.
Oh, doggone, that's hard luck. Just over the Texas border.
Mr. Judson, we'd like your opinion on something. Do you think Bing Crosby should retire?
Well, would you like to, Bing?
Well, it wouldn't be bad to settle down to a little serious golf.
No, that sounds right good. Doctor out here advised me to take up that game for my health, so I went and bought myself 3 golf clubs.
Only 3? Which clubs did you buy?
Lakeside, Hillcrest, and the Hollywood Country Club.
Beginning.
Yeah. Now, say, if you do retire, Bing, I'd admire to have you visit me on my ranch. Of course, it ain't much as ranches go in Texas.
How big a patch of ground you got?
Well, I don't rightly know. I sent some fellas out to survey it 10 years ago, and they ain't done yet.
Sounds a bit cramped, don't it?
Yeah, but I got some real fine horses on it. Say, seems to me like I read you used to own some horses yourself.
Well, it's always been a moot question. I can only say they went by that name. They had 4 legs. Some of them, that is.
Yeah. Well, now, I guarantee you'd like these cow ponies of mine.
Cow ponies?
Yep.
Well, what a wonderful combination. You can ride them and milk them, too.
Have a decision. Are you going to retire and let me take over your career?
Well, George, in all fairness, I haven't heard you sing at your best. You rascal, you held back on me, you know.
Well, I'll give you another sample.
Okay. This time, don't thin it out. Now, lay it on to me the full depth.
Oh, yes, George. Pull the trigger on the shotgun of your throat and let the bullet of melody blast Bing right into retirement.
Okay.
Boom, 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 down in the garden where the red rose goes, the honey, oh, fine. I love you. You love me like a flower, and don't get here to holler. The Lord, it come, learn, the red rose red.
Well, what do you say, baby?
Oh, that does it. I'm going right home and get my golf club.
You're going to retire?
No, I'm going to burn the clubs. I've got work to do.
In a moment. Join us again Thursday when we'll all be back. George Burns, Gracie Allen, Bill Goodwin, Meredith Wilson, and the Maxwell House Orchestra, and yours truly, Toby Reed. And now, here are our stars.
Gee, I can't believe that Crosby turned me down. I feel awful.
Oh, don't you fret, Sugarthroat. You're still going to take over Bing Crosby's career.
If you'd like to back that opinion, 3 will get you 5.
Well, Bing, you'll have to retire someday. It may be 50 or 60 years from now, but George will be waiting.
50 or 60 years? Let's see, that'd place Sugarthroat well over the century mark. Think he can capture the public fancy at such a ripe old age?
Why not? Al Jolson did it.
That's right.
I forgot about Al. I'll see you in about 50 or 60 years, George.
That's a date, Bing. Boom, 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 boom. Don't even go to the ring.
Burns and Allen on Tuned to Yesterday from December 4th, 1947 on NBC. Previously in that year, Bing Crosby had purchased the Ampex Corporation in an effort to develop and use tape technology so he could record his radio programs ahead of time. And after joining up with ABC a year later, spearheaded this practice on radio, which we do know today. It's an hour of sitcoms on Tuned to Yesterday. I'm your host, Mark Levanier. And now it's on to The Marriage with Jessica Tandy and Hume Cronin. This episode from January 10th, 1954 on NBC called Weekend in Vermont. Parker Fennelly guest stars.
Transcribed. Jessica Tandy and Hume Cronin in The Marriage. With the conviction that marriage remains the most popular domestic arrangement between friendly people, NBC takes pleasure in presenting one of the most distinguished couples of the American theater, Jessica Tandy and Hume Cronin as Liz and Ben Marriott, bringing you the love and laughter of The Marriage.
I heard someone say once that childhood is a prison sentence with time off for good behavior. I suppose a lot of people feel like that. They remember the unhappiness, the fight to grow up, and they forget the warmth and good times completely. Thomas Wolfe wrote a novel called You Can't Go Home Again, but people keep trying. In our case, it all started with an ad in the Sunday Times. I showed it to Liz after the kids had gone to bed.
Two strr, kup kud, two ak, gur, wool, proved rud. What is it, Ben? The Japanese naval code?
It's a real estate ad.
Oh.
Two-story Cape Cod on 2 acres.
Oh. What's gur, wool? Sounds ferocious.
Garage and a well.
Oh.
You know, that ad's very interesting. A client came into the office today.
That is interesting. And about time.
Cut it out, dear. He wanted me to handle buying this house for him. You'll never guess where it is.
Tanganyika?
You're warm. Vermont.
Oh, really?
Cardiff, Vermont.
Ben, Cardiff!
How long is it since you were back there?
Oh, 15 years.
Well, I may have to go up there this weekend to search the title and complete the sale.
Oh, beautiful up there this time of year. There's probably snow.
Probably.
And skiing.
That's right.
And the mountains. Ben.
It's all arranged, darling. We can leave on Friday.
But the children.
I called your mother this afternoon. She said she'd stay here over the weekend.
Oh, Ben, it's like a vacation. 3 whole days alone. Oh, is your client coming?
No. Mr. Ramdan has a conference at Columbia.
Ramdan? That's an unusual name.
He's an Indian.
Indian? A tomahawk Indian?
No. No, a turban Indian.
Oh.
He came here with the UN. Now he's teaching at Columbia. You should have seen him. A beard and a purple turban. Quite a sensation at the restaurant where we had lunch.
Oh, Ben.
What's the matter?
A purple turban in Cardiff, Vermont? I wonder. Ben, there's a place on the left.
Where?
Oh, never mind. We passed it. Ben, I'm hungry.
Well, we'll stop at the next place.
You said that when we left New Haven. We are now approaching the Vermont border.
What was wrong with that diner outside of Hartford?
It wasn't clean.
How could you tell? We went by it at 50 miles an hour.
I can tell. It just didn't feel clean. Ben, there. Harry's Chop House.
Where?
On the left.
I can't get over. There's a car passing me.
Oh, Ben.
What do you want me to do? Jump over him?
I wonder if nylon seat covers are very nourishing.
Darling, we'll stop at the next place no matter what. All right?
It's all right. I've lost the will to survive.
There's bound to be a place soon.
Hmm. Ben, why does Mr. Ramdan want a house in Vermont?
He's taking a sabbatical next year to write a book. After that, he'll use it in the summers.
But why Vermont?
I don't know. He saw the ad. It's far enough away from New York to be reasonable.
Do you think Cardiff will be very reasonable?
It's a good price.
That isn't what I mean. You don't know Vermonters too well.
I married one.
Well, I'm not really a Vermonter, not anymore. But they're very Vermont.
What are you getting at?
I've been thinking about the people from Cardiff. They haven't gotten over the border wall with New York State, and that was in 1778.
Come on, you're exaggerating.
I can't imagine an Indian with a purple turban walking into Mr. Harris's grocery.
Look, Mr. Ramdan is a very charming and intelligent man. He can get along anywhere. He's been all over the world.
He hasn't been in Cardiff for months.
Can't be any more dangerous than the Khyber Pass.
I'm serious, Ben. You can tell when you're in Vermont. It's a subtle, insidious change in the atmosphere. What's the matter, Ben?
Subtle, insidious change in the highway. We've crossed the state line into Vermont. Hello there. Hello.
Is there anybody here?
There must be. Lights are on in the gas pumps.
Well, maybe he's out back.
Hope so. I want to find out where we are.
I know exactly where we are, Ben. The turn off the highway is by an old covered bridge. I remember it perfectly.
You also remember the shortcut around Brattleboro perfectly. It certainly went around Brattleboro and around several times.
They changed the road. That isn't my fault.
I'd better go and look for somebody. Oh, cold.
You don't mind it as much up here. It's dry cold.
5 above 0 is cold, wet or dry.
Here comes somebody around the building.
Hello? Hello there. He didn't even look up.
He can't hear you. His ear flaps are down.
He's seen us. Hi there. Do you sell gas?
Yep.
Good, we're down pretty low. Would you mind filling the tank with premium?
Yep.
You mean you would mind?
Uh-huh.
Why? Ain't got no premium. Delivery truck broke down over to Jamaica.
Well, why didn't you tell me?
You didn't ask.
Oh. Well, look, maybe you can help me. How do we get to Cardiff from here?
Well, if I was going to Cardiff, I wouldn't start from here.
Oh, you wouldn't?
What happened to the old covered bridge by the Whale Net Road?
Burned down 5 years ago. You have a Manta?
Well, I grew up in Cardiff.
Oh. I could give you some regular gas.
But you said you didn't have any.
I don't. A premium.
Why didn't you tell me that you had... Never mind. I know. I didn't ask.
Yeah. Fill her up, you said.
See what I mean? He got one look at your out-of-state license.
Oh, that can't be it. Maybe he's got indigestion.
Ben, that's what I'm telling you. I remember when I was a little girl how cold everything was. People just don't give themselves. I keep thinking of that purple turban.
I thought you loved Vermont.
I do. I mean, I love the traditions of individuality and the countryside. But you've just got to face reality.
Check your oil?
No, it's all right. But I'm afraid the windshield's a little dirty.
Yeah, sure is. You ought to clean it sometime.
Well, I just thought I'd mention it. What do I owe you?
$370. Should have filled up in Massachusetts. No tax.
Ethan Allen Motel. Looks all right. Clean.
Anything looks all right to me now.
We can stay here and go out to the house in the morning. Come on.
Oh.
I'll get the bags later. The office seems to be down here.
Close the door. Don't want to heat the whole valley.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Sitting in a draft took Mr. Partridge off 5 years ago. My husband.
I'm sorry.
Oh, I don't grieve none now. Grief past a year is just a bad habit.
We'd like a cabin for the night.
I figured that was it. $6 a night, double with a shower.
Well, that's fine.
You got luggage?
It's out in the car.
Got to be careful. Man and wife?
Of course.
Ain't so much a course as you might think. Been married long?
Well, yes, 17 years.
And you're not likely to be carrying a copy of the license?
I'm afraid not.
Well, I'll just have to chance it.
We could show you pictures of our children.
That don't signify. Anybody can carry pictures.
Now, look here.
Ben,
there's no reason
Ben,
to...
it's perfectly all right, Mrs. Partridge, really.
I don't have much choice. You cater to foreigners, and you ought to expect this sort of thing.
Madam, we're very tired. We drove all the way from New York City.
New York City?
Can't we have a bed?
All right. Right this way. Cabins is plain, nothing fancy. I hold with simple things. So did Mr. Partridge, till just before he passed on. Sent for me that last night, made me promise to get him a bronze casket with silver handles. Said he wasn't going snapping around hell in no plain pine box.
I can understand that. He wanted to make a lasting impression.
Yeah? Oh, one thing more.
Yes?
Pay in advance.
Ben, you asleep?
Yes.
My mattress is lumpy.
I think I've got Mr. Partridge's pine box.
Ben. Can you imagine Mr. Ramdan meeting Mrs. Partridge?
Please, not just before I go to sleep.
It won't work. I know it won't.
Let's talk about it in the morning, darling.
He just won't fit in. They won't accept him.
Liz, I've been driving all day. Please.
Can you imagine Mr. Ramdan at the Ethan Allen Motel?
He might do very well here.
What do you mean?
He comes from India. He might know how to sleep on a bed of nails. There it is, Liz. Old house, but a very good buy.
Dan, I remember this house. I think I do. We used to pass it when we drove over toward Bellows Falls. I remember the shutters.
Come on, let's get in there before we freeze solid.
You don't mind the cold here as much, Ben.
I know. It's dry. Come on.
What's the name of the owner?
Jeremy Gale.
Is he a lawyer?
I think so.
I'll bet I knew him. At least I used to see him at town meetings. I think he was a select man one year.
I saw you drive up. Come on in.
Thank you.
Stamp your feet, Ben.
I got a fire going inside.
Oh, we need it.
Mr. Marriott, I expect.
That's right, sir. This is Mrs. Marriott. She comes from Cardiff.
Oh? Moved away?
Yes, I live in New York now.
Well, I suppose you had good reason.
I remember you, though, Mr. Gale, from town meeting.
You do? I don't remember you.
Oh, that'd be 20 years ago. Elizabeth Walker.
Walker. Alan Walker's daughter?
Yes.
I knew your pa well. Real Vermonter. Well, now, Mr. Marriott, I suppose you're authorized to handle the sale.
Yes. Yes, I've final authority.
I suppose you wonder why I'm selling. Well, I'm getting old. How old would you say I was?
Oh, I don't know, really.
You're scared of guessing high and hurt my feelings. Well, I'm 72. That's too old to be stuck out on a dirt road in mud time.
I understand, sir.
I got no family. Since I retired from the law, I've been trying to farm on this piece. Raise hogs so skinny I had to tie knots in their tails to keep them from squeezing out twixt the pickets and the pen.
You mean this isn't a productive farm?
I got fields so steep, when I plowed them with a team of horses, one horse had to ride on the other. Had chickens so thin it took two of them to cast a shadow.
Do you expect to move into town, Mr. Gale?
Yep. Renting a room across from the Methodist Church. Come and go as I please. Independent as a hog on ice.
I thought we'd drive over to the county seat this afternoon, Mr. Gale, and search the records and then finish up by evening.
Well, I ain't so sure.
I beg your pardon?
I ain't talked about terms or the mortgage I took out four years ago. And I got some thinking to do this morning, too. I tell you what, you come back this afternoon.
But
I'll be ready to do business with you then.
Well, all right. All right, we'll see you then, Mr. Gale.
It was nice seeing you again, Mr. Gale.
Find what you was looking for?
What?
When you moved away from Cardiff.
I can't understand it. Why is he stalling?
Oh, he's got some reason. People up here don't do things in a hurry, especially selling land.
He couldn't be trying to run up the price.
Oh, Ben.
What?
Across the street, it's Aunt Hattie.
Who's Aunt Hattie?
Mine. I mean, not a real aunt, a courtesy aunt. She knew us when we were children. Oh, she's seen us.
Are you sure?
Aunt Hattie has an eye like an eagle. It used to be famous.
She's coming over here.
She's a sweet old lady, but she used to listen on the party line. Hello, Aunt Hattie. Isn't it exciting seeing you again?
Elizabeth. Oh, Elizabeth Walker, it is you. I thought so. I could tell even with that hat.
You're looking fine, Aunt Hattie.
I keep busy. You're not looking well.
I'm not?
Mm-mm. Speak it.
Well, we can't all keep as well as you do.
No, you can't. Not breathing that mixture of poison and soft cool they call air down in New York. You do live in New York now.
Why, yes, I do.
I heard that. Your mother wrote me. Said you were married to some city lawyer. I cried and cried when I read that. I told everybody it seemed such a shame. I remember you in high school. Showed such promise.
Aunt Hattie, this is my husband, Ben Marriott.
How do you do?
Oh, we were just talking about you.
I know. I heard.
You ought to take care of Elizabeth.
Oh, well, haven't I?
What about her teeth?
Well, what about her teeth?
You know, as long as you're up here, Elizabeth, you ought to drop into Dr. Hempstead's for a checkup.
But I have a dentist in New York, Aunt Hattie.
Well, I wouldn't want to say a word against him, but...
I have every confidence in my dentist, Aunt Hattie.
All the same, it wouldn't hurt to make sure. Oh, and you could drop in at Galton and Pierce. They're having a sale on hats.
But I got this hat at Hunts Fifth Avenue.
I thought as much. I went shopping down to Boston once. Didn't buy a thing.
Why not?
I can do just as well here in Cardiff without all that fancy folderol. Oh, Elizabeth, open your mouth. Hmm? Say, ah. Ah. Mmm, I thought so. That New York air has your throat all inflamed. You drop into Dr. Whitcomb and get it painted with Argyrol.
But I'm all right, really.
And he may not have a fancy office on Park Avenue in New York, but Dr. Whitcomb brought you into the world right here in Cardiff. He never left it. Well, goodbye.
Goodbye, Aunt Hattie.
Goodbye, Aunt Hattie.
Hi, Mrs. Holcomb, thank you. Goodbye.
So furious.
What's the matter?
My dentist is the top man in the Columbia School of Dentistry. I mean, Dr. Hempstead is a very good dentist, too, but so is mine in New York.
I know, dear.
But she just assumes he can't be. Ben, don't you understand?
Understand what?
What they're all saying. They think I betrayed something because I moved away.
Oh, now, Liz,
It's true. I remember it so well. I think that's why I came down to New York to work after college. I was so cold, there wasn't any warmth here anywhere.
Now, don't get upset, Liz. It isn't true anyway. You can't blame a whole state for your individual feelings.
Ben, it isn't individual. They don't approve of you because you're from New York, and they don't warm up to me because I left Cardiff. That's why Mr. Gale delayed the sale. I know it is. If they're prejudiced against me, how do you think they'll feel about an Indian with a beard?
Mr. Gale's a lawyer.
Lawyers aren't immune.
Look, Liz, you grew up here. You're all tied up with it emotionally. You had a hard time breaking away. I can see this with a more objective viewpoint.
You don't know them as well as I do. He'll make excuses. He won't sell to Mr. Ramdan. I know he won't.
Why shouldn't he?
He won't. You'll see.
Well, now, Mr. Marriott, I've been thinking.
You have?
I could sell this place to you just as easy as a eel going through a bucket of cream.
I'm glad to hear that.
Yeah. But right, I ought to move into town where that pill peddler Whitcomb can get to me easy.
Well, that's fine. Then we can get down to business.
But I ain't going to sell.
You're not?
No. No, I changed my mind.
But you advertised. We came all the way up here from New York.
Yeah. Well, now, I'm sorry to inconvenience you, but things has changed.
Oh.
I just don't want to sell.
Oh, I see. Why not?
Sentiment, I guess.
Sentiment?
Yeah. You see, this place was raised by my grandfather. It belonged to my father till he died. I just decided I didn't want somebody else living here. Not while I was alive.
Well, I don't suppose there's anything else to say.
No, I don't suppose there is.
I think there is.
Liz,
no. No, Ben, let me alone.
Liz, please.
I'm just sick, Ben. I can't stand it anymore. Mr. Gale, why? Why don't you sell? I listened and I tried to think of a reason. I didn't want to. I couldn't face the truth.
You couldn't, eh?
No, I think it's a shame. You don't want to sell because Mr. Ramdan is different, because he's foreign, because he wears a beard and a turban.
Well, now, I didn't say that.
No, you didn't. You were just hypocritical. You made excuses. You weren't even honest enough to admit you didn't want a man like that in Cardiff.
Liz, please, you don't mean to upset...
I do mean it. I felt it ever since we came here. I wanted to come back, but you made me glad I left. I don't ever want to come back. I'm ashamed.
Well, now...
I'm terribly sorry, Mr. Gale. However, I suppose I feel the same way.
Yeah, well, before you go launching into an oration, too... Maybe you folks didn't consider that I wasn't making excuses.
Then why won't you sell?
I said why. Maybe it got lost in the shuffle, but you might recollect nobody told me this client of Mr. Marriott's was an Indian, with or without a beard.
Oh. Oh.
You know, around here, we may be old-fashioned and state-proud. We don't make too much of a fuss over anything. We figure if our neighbor makes a darn fool of himself, why, that's his business. But... he's got a right to it. Same way any fellow's got a right to live next door. He's got a right to wear whatever he pleases on his head. Inside his head, for that matter. And if I don't like it, why, no law says I got to listen.
But I was sure...
Yeah. Well, the way it stands now, you ain't likely to believe me, so... Mr. Marriott, You draw up the bill of sale.
Well, you're selling to Mr. Ramdan?
Yeah. Miss Marriott, there's some things I take serious. Cooking, cigars, and the state of Vermont. I got something over here. Wrote down on a shirt cardboard over the desk here. Listen to this. If the spirit of liberty should vanish in the United States and our institutions should languish, it could all be restored by the generous store held by the people in this brave little state of Vermont. Know who said that?
No. No, I don't.
Calvin Coolidge. He was a Vermonter. He said his piece, like the rest of us do. Just like the winter. Cold, but you don't mind it because it's dry.
I suppose I don't know what to say.
In that case, don't say nothing.
Mr. Gale.
And you neither. Just don't go telling anybody you're ashamed of the place you was born. Anyway, I know what 'tis to be a foreigner myself.
You do?
Yeah. My grandfather come from New Hampshire.
Liz?
Mm-hmm.
We got a letter today from Mr. Ramdan.
How does he like Vermont?
Oh, he says it's wonderful, just like the Himalayas. You don't mind the cold, it's dry.
NBC Radio Network.
The Marriage, on Tuned to Yesterday from January 10th, 1954, with revered actors Jessica Tandy and Hume Cronin. And that wraps this hour of sitcoms on Tuned to Yesterday. Be sure to be with us next time for more great programs from radio's yesteryear. Until our next hour together, I'm Mark LeVanier. Thanks for tuning in.